Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles, if you have yours with you, to Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 32, I'll be reading on into chapter 5. This is God's word. "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of his possessions was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. There were no needy persons among them, for from time to time those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself, but brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. Then Peter said, 'Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received for the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied to men, but to God.' When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died, and great fear seized all who heard what had happened. Then the young men came forward, wrapped up his body, carried him out, and buried him. About 3 hours later, his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked her, 'Tell me, is this the price you and Ananias got for the land?' 'Yes,' she said, 'that is the price.' Peter said to her, 'How could you agree to test the Spirit of God? Look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also.' At that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in, and finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. It's a happy passage, isn't it? We just work our way through the scriptures. Now, the first thing that I want to be sure we're all clear about is this isn't a make-believe story. Okay? This isn't once upon a time, long, long ago in a land far away. This is history. This is what actually happened. And it's not just history. It is God's word. There were a lot of things that happened. We don't get all the details. But this was a very significant event that we need to know about. And you can't really understand what was happening with Ananias and Sapphira unless you understand the first part that we read, and that was that the attitude of the believers was that they shared everything. They didn't regard anything as theirs to cling to. Needs were being met as from time to time people in the church would sell a piece of property they had or a house that they owned and bring the money and turn it over to the apostles. Now, I like the fact that it says from time to time. In other words, this wasn't in response to a fundraising campaign. It was just as the Lord moved in the hearts of the people. There are people who have tried to take this passage out of context and suggest that Marxism is somehow Christian. It's not. It's atheistic. The state doesn't own things. Okay? These were voluntary responses on the part of God's people to God's amazing grace in their lives. I've shared with you before, recently, the story of one of the Ukrainian children we adopted, the oldest of the three, who began giving away his belongings to the other kids in the orphanage when he believed that we were coming to get him. He hadn't even met us. But he believed the promise. And so he gave away his belongings. Why? Because he knew he wasn't going to need them. He was going to a better place. All his needs were going to be taken care of. The first indicator as to whether or not our attitude toward our possessions and toward our money is godly or worldly is the question of whether or not you're worried about your possessions and your money. Because if you're worried about it, you haven't got a godly perspective. I don't know if you're getting the emails, but I'm getting lots of them from various sources telling me that the government is about to declare my dollars worthless. Have any of you seen those emails? Anybody gotten that? Yeah, some of them. Mostly older people like me. Okay? But I mean, there are folks who are warning us that you need, before July 20, you need to move your money out of the bank, okay? And put it into one of these investments with these people. I haven't gotten scared yet. I don't read the emails. I just see the headlines and delete, delete, delete. Are you worried? No. Do you realize that the government has, for instance, with the trouble over Russia invading Ukraine, the government did just say, this person's money is not available to them. This person's money is not available to them. This person's money is not available to them. You know the government did that, right? Does it occur to you that they could do that to us? They could decide that we are entirely too religious, we're religious fanatics? You think our government is incapable of mischief? You think they might not come along and decide that it's just time to clamp down on those religious fundamentalists? Okay? Because they're dangerous. Pastor Wood, you sound like you're nervous. I'm not nervous at all. But you're saying that the government is really big and capable of enormous bad stuff. Absolutely. They crucified my Lord. That wasn't the American government. No, it was human government. Throughout history, governments have been capable of doing bad things because people are bad people at heart. Oh, I know. I've heard about that party. No, I'm not talking about political parties. I'm talking about the human condition. All of us are by nature sinners. We don't become sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. That's why we need a Savior. Good news. God sent his Son to save sinners. Hallelujah. Our only hope is not that we're better than the other guy. Our only hope is that Jesus came to save sinners. That's good news. That's really good news.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is. and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling.
So these folks believed it, and in light of that, when their governing authorities were telling them, you must not preach in the name of Jesus anymore. You got to stop telling people he's alive, even though they knew he was. Remember, the guards came and told the high priest, hey, he's not in the tomb. We saw angels. They rolled back the stone. They were so bright it scared us to death. We fell down on the ground. We were so terrified. And the high priest didn't say, oh no, we've crucified the Messiah. The high priest said, okay, just give us a minute. Turned around, consulted each other, and then gave money to the guards and said, just tell people, if they ask, that you fell asleep, and while you were sleeping, his disciples carried off the body. And if anybody tries to give you trouble, we'll cover for you. We'll take care of you. Why'd they do that? Because they weren't interested in truth. They tried to suppress the truth. That's what the unregenerate heart does. That's why when confronted with the truth, the natural response of man is to close the eyes and go, I can't understand. I don't know. I don't get it. I don't understand. Why? Because if God is real and Jesus is Lord, then we need to repent and turn our lives over to him. And there are a whole lot of folks who just aren't ready for that today. These folks had trusted Jesus. And they were so excited about who he is and what he had done that it changed their attitude toward one another. And it changed their attitude toward their possessions and their finances. And therefore, they weren't worried about it. They weren't worried about it. And so from time to time, they would bring the proceeds of property they had sold, and they would turn it over to the leadership of the church. Isn't that great? Isn't that wonderful? As a result, there was plenty of resources to go around. There were no needy people among them because God was providing through the generosity of people who loved their brothers and sisters. You know what? God is not here to harm those who trust in him. Well, he killed a couple of people there in chapter 5. Yeah, and what was the reason why they were killed? It wasn't because they kept some money back. It was because they lied. That was the issue. Look at what God said through the Apostle Peter to Ananias. Verse 4 of chapter 5. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? You see, the problem was not that Christians are not allowed to own property. No. Christians are allowed to own property. Otherwise, they couldn't sell it and give the money. Okay? It's okay to own stuff. It's okay to be wealthy. It's okay to have possessions. It's not okay to be possessed by your possessions. You cannot serve God and mammon. You can have mammon, but you can't serve it. You can't let the stuff control you. So what is your attitude toward the things that God has entrusted to you to be a steward? What is your attitude? Is it, oh, I've got to hold on to everything? You can't hold on to everything. If you manage to only grow your financial wealth between now and the time you would die, you would still not be able to take it with you. Right? So the problem here was not that Ananias and Sapphira had some property. The problem was not that they sold it. The problem was not that they only gave part of the money. The problem was they kept back part of the money and pretended that they were giving the full amount. Okay? They were more concerned about appearing godly than they were about being godly. Now, I say, they deserve to die, except for the fact that I must confess, there are times when I am more concerned about appearing godly than I am about being godly. Okay? That's a problem for me. I was a preacher's kid growing up. We knew that there were some people who had very strict opinions about things that are really not even biblical, okay? You know, my sister was once asked to sing at a youth concert, a youth rally. She had a wonderful solo voice. She was 15 years old. She was asked to sing at this youth rally in the Chicago area, and she got nervous at age 15, you know? And when she got nervous, I suppose it affected her hormones, and her face broke out. I don't mean it blew away. I mean that eruptions in the skin appeared, and they were unattractive. So she tried to cover it with makeup, okay? Now, I don't remember exactly what she looked like at that point in time, but I know that the fellow who had invited her to come and sing thought it was a sin for young ladies to wear makeup. And so even though she sang beautifully, he told her never to come back to one of his meetings because she wore makeup. My mother went to a school in Chicago a number of years earlier where it was totally forbidden for the young women to wear short sleeves. Their sleeves had to come down to the elbow. Mother saw the wife of the dean of students wearing, I forget what it was called, but some kind of collar that came to here and went around like a little cape, a cape collar, that's what it was called. And it covered just below your elbows. But your upper arm underneath the cape collar was bare, okay, all the way up to the shoulder. Well, mother saw the dean's wife doing it, and so she thought, I guess that's okay, and she got one of those for herself because it was a lovely look in the 1930s. And mother was reported as having been seen crossing the street in downtown Chicago with a cape collar and bare upper arms. Just think of the excitement that might have generated in young men to see a young woman's upper arm. So she was called into some other dean's office and asked, is that true? Did you wear a dress where the upper arm was hidden only by a collar? And my mom said, yes, when I saw Dr. So-and-so's wife wearing one at a school function, I thought it was okay. Now, why am I telling you that? Because if you grew up in a legalistic environment, I can relate and we can swap stories later, okay? But one of the byproducts of that toxic, phony religiosity and Phariseeism is that you become very preoccupied with externals, okay? And you know that even though this is okay with God, it wouldn't be okay with those people if they knew, so I better not do that in public. Understand? Let me just tell you, Jesus didn't play by those rules. Jesus didn't play by those rules because Jesus wasn't playing. He lived perfect righteousness, totally fulfilled God's law, did not bother with man's law. And the Pharisees hated him for it. Well, we see how that ends up. They killed him. I'd rather not be unliked on Facebook. Right? I mean, Jesus went to the cross. I'm thinking, no reason to offend. Let's be careful. Let's try and keep people having a high opinion of me, even if it's because they don't know everything about me. Okay? Now you're sitting there wondering, what is Pastor Wood hinting at in his own life? What I'm telling you is this. The sin in my life is not that I might do something that would displease a Pharisee. The sin in my life is wanting to pretend at times that I'm more conservative than I am. I won't do it from the pulpit, don't worry. I'm going to tell you the truth. But what am I telling you? I'm telling you that I have spent my whole life being too conscious of what other people think. And the problem with Ananias and Sapphira is they didn't want to just keep certain things quiet. They flat out lied. That's why they were asked, is this the amount? And they said, oh, yep, that's it. We sold it for this much money. No, you didn't. How'd Peter know that? You know, it talks about Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's wife was a realtor. Okay. No. The reason that Peter knew was because God knew. And God told Peter. And God not only told Peter that that wasn't the truth about the sales price on that property, God told Peter, I'm taking him out. And so he was struck down dead. And then his wife came in a few hours later. And Peter said, was that actually the price you got for that land? Yes, it was. Yes, it was. Why'd you do that? Because they had an agreement. They agreed together to do this thing. Peter says, how could you do this? You're not lying just to us. You don't understand who we are. We are the body of Christ. God lives in his people. That's why they're able to share with one another. It's because we're family. And the Lord himself isn't just visiting occasionally. He lives his life in and through us. That's why our lives are to be like him, holy. And so, she drops down dead. And Peter says to her right before she dies, look, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. The guys were just coming back from having dug a hole and buried her husband. They weren't in the room yet. But Peter not only knew about the lie, he knew what was about to happen, and he knew that those guys were on the way in. Where did he get this information? God. God knows everything about us. There's not anything hidden from him. So don't lie. If you've done something wrong, confess. If you've got a problem, tell. It's okay. It's okay to be honest. It's not okay not to be honest. So, at that moment, she fell down at his feet and died. Then the young men came in and, finding her dead, carried her out and buried her beside her husband. And great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. I want to ask you a question. Why would great fear seize the whole church? Well, because Ananias and Sapphira just got killed by God. Yeah, why would that bother you? Perhaps it's because we too have some things we need to get right with God. Amen?
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.